Welcome to the Triumphal Feast Podcast, a ministry of Elder Bryce Lowrance, speaking to you from Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas.
But when John the Baptist comes on the scene, they're turned to the Lord. It's a whole lot more than just going to church. It's a whole lot more than the ceremony. It's a whole lot more than just singing a song and hearing a sermon. John's ministry is going to change people's lives.
In this edition of Triumphal Feast, we will hear the conclusion of the message, God Hears Even When We Can't. Today's message continues in Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 25.
When people finally understand who this man is that's going to be born of Elizabeth, there's going to be great rejoicing. When they find out that the forerunner of the Messiah is here on earth, that means the Messiah is coming soon. They're not going to be rejoicing in John the Baptist alone. They're going to be rejoicing of who John the Baptist is because who's coming after him? For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, and to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Wow. What a testimony. What a wonderful testimony of the preciousness of life. These facts are spoken about this man even before he's conceived in the womb. Okay? So when he's conceived in the womb, he's John. Not 9 months later, not 6 months later. He was John even before he existed. God says these words, "Even before I formed thee in the womb, I knew thee." Life is precious. That's a testimony right there. But then looking at what's going to happen, he is going to live the life of a Nazarite. That's the not drinking any strong drink or wine and not cutting his hair or beard. We find recorded in the book of Numbers chapter 6 how this vow of the Nazarite works. Everybody knows that it is that they don't drink and they don't cut their hair. We remember that part. What we don't remember is this is something that is typically done by an adult for only a short amount of time. That they take the vow of a Nazarite in order to fulfill something that the Lord wants them to do, or in order to discern the will of God, or for some other reason they have prayed to God and they decided to take the vow of a Nazarite until they receive answer. But it's two things. It's normally an adult and it's normally temporary. But the description that is given here is that from his mother's womb, he is going to be this man devoted to God. And he's the promise of the forerunner. This beautiful description of him in verses 16 and 17, what his ministry will do, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. You know, I think we could have a revival like that today. There's a lot of folks going to church. There's a lot of folks practicing some form of Christianity. There's a lot of folks that sang hymns this morning. There's a lot of folks that heard some speeches this morning, just like there were back then among the Pharisaical religion, the leading religion of the day. People heard their songs. People heard, their sermons. But when John the Baptist comes on the scene, they're turned to the Lord. It's a whole lot more than just going to church. It's a whole lot more than the ceremony. It's a whole lot more than just singing a song and hearing a sermon. John's ministry is going to change people's lives. The testimony of him is quoted here in verse 17. It comes from Malachi chapter 4. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias. Remember, the Lord told Malachi that he is going to send one in the spirit of Elijah, that's Elias, before that great and notable and terrible day of the Lord. What the angel is telling Zacharias is something that he would know. This is a priest. This man had studied the Old Testament. And so when this angel says, Zacharias, your son is coming in the spirit of Elijah, Zacharias knew what that meant. You mean my son is the forerunner of the Christ? I'm trying to picture what Zacharias looks like while this whole thing's going on, and I'm thinking he's just standing there, mouth hanging open, completely dumbfounded, because he's understanding everything that's happening, but there's this great angel standing in front of him, telling him something that seems impossible, and then telling him, not only are you having a child, you're having the one that you've been looking for. You know, everybody's looking for the Messiah, but in order to find the Messiah, they needed to look for the one coming in the spirit of Elijah also. He's been looking for this guy. And his ministry is going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to their fathers, it says in Malachi. What that means is instead of going with the modern theology of the day, instead of going what was the popular religion and accepted interpretation of the Bible of the day, John's ministry is going to cause families to go back to the book, to go back to the Bible, and seek the true religion given to the Jews. The Pharisees refused to do that, and they never understood who Christ was. But John's ministry, to those that were willing to take a step back from the popular religion and just get back in the book, John's preaching was going to turn them to what we would call old-time religion. Back to the basics of it. Not the modern way of looking at things. What a wonderful thing has happened already. Zacharias has gotten to do something he possibly never got to do before. He has an angel speaking to him. He has an angel telling him that he and Elizabeth are going to have a child. And it is going to be the forerunner of the Christ. But let's look at Zacharias' reaction in verse 18. And Zacharias said unto the angel, whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. There's an angel standing next to the altar of incense, and Zacharias wants a sign. We laugh, but how many times have we had that happen in our lives? That we're wanting to understand the will of the Lord when He's already slapped us in the face with it. When He's already clearly says, yeah, Lord, but are you sure this is what you want me to do? Remember, we were studying how to get started in the race, and we looked at the case of Abraham and we looked at the case of Moses. Abraham was given very little information, and he took off running. Moses was told everything. Remember, God said, Moses, I'm going to make you Superman in the eyes of all the Israelites and in the eyes of Pharaoh. And Moses says, yeah, but How much information has Zacharias already been given? And it coming from an angel standing on the right side. He would understand what it meant to be standing on the right side of that altar also. He would understand that this angel is in the very presence of God, but he doubts. I love that the Holy Ghost included those facts for us, because I doubt. And I'm afraid sometimes. That's part of the human experience. And honestly, folks, if this man's 90 years old, he's wanted a child for 70 years. In his mind, I'm going to die childless. He's convinced himself. My wife Elizabeth, she's going to die childless. He says, so how do I know? And the angel, verse 19, and the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. Zacharias is a priest. Zacharias knew what it meant to be on the right-hand side of that table. And Zacharias knew this name. It's not the first time we've seen the name Gabriel in the Bible. Gabriel showed up in the book of Daniel, a book that Zacharias would know well because it's one that they studied about the coming of the Messiah. Last time we heard from Gabriel, he was talking about what it was going to be like when the Messiah came. Zacharias is standing there beholding this angel, and he said, I need a sign. He says, Zacharias, I'm going to make it so clear to you, you'll have no doubt. I'm Gabriel. You know me, and you know what my message has been every single time I've spoken to man. And I'm in the presence of God all of the time. I know exactly what's on God's mind, and he sent me here to give you this good news or glad tidings. Wow. But the angel has more to say. Verse 20, and behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because that thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Zacharias doubted with words. And so God tells Gabriel to tell him, since you doubted with words, you're not going to be able to speak for 9 months. But you know what? It's more than that. Turn over a page or so in your Bible to verse 62 of this same chapter. This is after John is born. Verse 62, it says, they've come up to Zacharias and they made signs to his father how he would have him called. Now, if I can't talk, that's one thing. I've got to do signs. But if people are doing signs to me, what does that mean? It means I can't hear either. The punishment that Zacharias receives is not only silence of his mouth, but it's silence of his ears. For 9 months, he was in silence. He couldn't make a noise, and he couldn't hear a noise. You know, my first reaction to that is, wow, that's kind of harsh. But is it? Zacharias sinned with his mouth, with words. For 9 months, he can't do that. And for 9 months, he can't hear anybody else do that. You ever thought of it that way? His chastisement was a blessing. I think he learned his lesson, because when it comes time to name his son, he calls him John. But think of that. When we are under the punishing hand of God, it is not for our detriment, it's for our good. And find the blessing in the chastisement to see what the Lord is teaching us. He had sinned with doubting words, and he can't do that now. Verse 21. And the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. I don't know how long it took to perform the duty that he was doing, but obviously this conversation with Gabriel made it take much longer, because they were marveled that it was taking so long. Now, tradition tells us that the high priest had bells on the bottom of his cloak, so that when he went into the holiest of holies, if they ever heard those bells stop tinkling, that means God got mad and he's dead and we got to go in there and get him out. This priest didn't have that. But they've got to start wondering now. He's gone in there. God's in there. What happened, Zacharias? Let's look at it from their point of view. 90-year-old man, no children. God obviously doesn't like him. Isn't that the way we get? We see somebody not being blessed of God and we assume the worst. But it wasn't the worst, was it? Why was it that Zacharias and Elizabeth didn't have a child for 70 years of their marriage? Because God wanted to do this miracle. That's the reason why. He wanted to bless them abundantly, to have the forerunner of the Messiah be their child. Let's be real careful if we're the multitude on the outside wondering what's going on in somebody's life. Let's be careful to not think the worst. Let's be patient and see what's happened. They're wondering, what in the world's going on? And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. He comes out of the temple. First thing he does is check and see if what Gabriel said was true. He wants to call people over to tell them what happened. He waves at it, come on over here. And when he tries to talk, nothing comes out of his mouth. Can you imagine what he looked like anyway? He'd been standing in the presence of an angel that told him his name was Gabriel, and that told him he was going to have a child, and that child was going to be called John, the forerunner of Christ. Zacharias is the first human being to know that the Messiah is coming. He had 9 months to think about that. Perhaps during that 70 years of praying, he complained. Lord, I've been praying. Why won't you give me a child? Perhaps during that 70 years, he doubted. Lord, I just wonder, do you hear my prayer? Do you care? He had 9 months in silence to think about that. And what do you think his conclusion was? Yeah, the Lord does care. The Lord does hear. I can't hear right now, but he hears. He's heard everything. And I think he also came to another conclusion. Wow, God is merciful. Not only is he going to grant us a child, I got to be the first one to hear Jesus is coming. Didn't know his name yet. But I got to be the first one to hear that Christ is on his way. Verse 23. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. Remember we said this was the course of Abijah, just like the other 23 courses. It's a temporary service in the temple, and all of the families went back home. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Somehow, Zacharias communicated to Elizabeth what had happened, I think. Not certain what it is, the reason that she hid herself 5 months, other than I think she was doing exactly what Samson's mom did. Samson's mom was told, your son's going to be a Nazirite from the womb. Don't drink and don't cut your hair. I think Elizabeth started doing the same thing. So that the baby was not partaking of any of those things, even from the moment of conception. She hid herself. I can't imagine what a mom would feel like. You know, the Lord designed men and women differently. And there is a feeling within a woman of wanting a child that normally comes on when they're 13 or 14 years old and becomes to maturity after that. But for over 70 years, she's wanted a child. I think she took very, very good care of herself and very good care of the baby during that 5 months and rejoiced and prayed and thanked the Lord. And we'll close out with her last words here. The Lord dealt with me in the days wherein He looked on me. What was the evidence to Elizabeth that God had heard her all along? He looked on her. To take away my reproach among men. I hope America goes back to thinking that way. The current idea in America is that children are a burden. Our own president said that. The current thinking in America is that children are a nuisance. Some people see them as an investment. But so many people don't see children the way God intended them, that they are heritage from the Lord. They are a precious, precious gift given to us. In the time of Elizabeth, if a woman couldn't have a child, they mocked her. They made fun of her. They said there must be something wrong with her. God has cursed her. She must be living in sin. She lived that way for over 70 years. She's with child and her reproach is gone. The blessings that we have of marriage and childbearing are a precious, precious gift from God. There are some that desire for years to have children and can't. We know from this example of Zacharias and Elizabeth, that doesn't mean they've done anything wrong. In their particular case, God was holding on to a big blessing. In other cases, there's a mom that can't take care of a child. And so the Lord has prepared you to take care of them. All the while, this theme in the story of Zacharias in the temple is that God hears our prayers. Even though we may not understand, even though we may not even know what's going on, even though we may have a condition like Zacharias, we can't hear. And so we assume God can't hear. No. He's heard us all along. And I think if we'll be quiet for a little while, we might hear Him too. I think that's perhaps the biggest lesson that I can learn from these 20 or so verses. Is that silence is a good thing. We are so busy today. We take such little time to just be quiet. But how many times throughout Scripture do we find statements like this? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. How many times do we learn the lesson? Just stop. Leave it alone. Give it over to the Lord. And watch salvation come into your life. That's what I hope we take away from this account. That's what I hope we understand, as that God hears us. And we need to take time to listen to Him.
Victorious God, what can we pay for?
We hope this edition of Triumphal Feast has been a blessing to you. If you would like more information about this podcast or other ministries of Brentwood Hills Primitive Baptist Church, please visit our website at bhpbc.org. Until next time, may the Lord bless you all, is my prayer.